conspiracy theories as to what Jamal Murray meant. Woj did come out and say, hey, it's believed that Jamal was just simply speaking about metaphorically eating, and congrats on Bruce's success either way. But he didn't say that.
What does he know?
What does he know that we don't know?
What does Woj know?
He probably reached out to Jamal and said, did you mean anything by that? What do you know? What do you know? What do you know?
Jamal's not going to tell him.
And then Malone and Calvin Booth are like, damage control. You know, make sure you're
I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Woj, if that's your real name.
Yeah, if that's in fact your real name.
As your mother knows you.
You don't know what you're talking about. Jamal spilled the beans.
He said it.
And Bruce Brown will be a Denver Nugget. Sometime we will announce tomorrow or Saturday. I feel about 60-40. I know I predicted it 10 minutes ago. But that's how I feel. 60-40, yes. He returns. He extends his contract with the Denver Nuggets. So the question is, Angel, if you extend the contract and you got Bruce Brown for the foreseeable future, does that make you feel better about just running it all back? We talked about that yesterday, and we outlined the Jeff Greens and the Thomas Bryants and the Schmidts and all those guys. Do you think, oh, well, you've got your Bruce Brown, you've got your Christian Brown set. Let's run it all back because those two guys are going to keep being really good, maybe even better.
Yeah, I'd feel more comfortable about it just with the bench and just the chemistry with the team. I'd still want to get some kind of big man to back up Jokic, but that would really be it. If you kept Bruce, there's really not much else to do.
There really isn't. Now you just hope your rookies evolve.
That and, fighting complacency, but that'll come in October.
That's Malone seems to be pretty good at that because it did seem like there were times when the Nuggets could get complacent, maybe even showed that, but Michael Malone kept striking that nerve or hitting that nerve, and it lit a fire.
You got to find some more nerves to hit.
Yeah, what do you use now? You use the dynasty thing. You can't. Can he still use the nobody believes in us thing?
Sure.
Yeah, because they don't really.
We've been talking about the Suns for 3 weeks.
Yep, Suns and the Lakers. Still up there, Warriors. So I guess you can still use that. I think now you're trying to use it as we have something to. We want to be a historic franchise now. We want to be a historic team.
I think
we have the chance to do that.
You guys did something really special last year, and it took a lot of work. But if you want to do that again, it's going to ask even more of you.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're going to have to get creative with how you motivate this team now. Because it's hard to do that. And it's some guys are obsessed. Like Kobe and Jordan, that's it. They were just obsessed with winning a title. And maybe that's Jamal. Maybe that really is Nikola Jokic. But we've all learned a few things about these guys. Like Nikola, clearly basketball is considered a job to him. So it's, I'm not saying he doesn't want to win titles. But it's just kind of a thing. That's just another thing for him. Kobe and Jordan, and probably LeBron, but especially Kobe and Jordan, that was it. It was title. Everything else, great, neat. Title. I want a title. And that's how you're going to have to get Malone to really, really get in there and motivate. Can I ask you, too, what's going on with Karl Anthony Towns? Why is he talking so much about, he said what the Timberwolves winning a play-in game was more historic to the Nuggets winning the title, saying things like, hey, I'm keeping this ring free for my championship ring coming up. When it's all said and done, people are going to say, I changed the game. What is going on with that dude?
He is a guy that was very highly touted coming out of college and went to Minnesota. And was expected to be this next big thing, never really got to that point, and now I think he's realizing the league is passing him by.
It seems like it, because how long has he been in the league now? Is next year his sixth season? Is that what it is?
He was drafted in 2015.
Yeah, so he's
up there. He's at that midway point of an NBA career where am I good enough to get a third or fourth contract, or is I fade out?
And it's weird that he's like, I'm going to change the game. There's no way. He's not changing games.
He hasn't done anything that is worth recognizing.
No. I mean, he's a good player. Is he a great player? Not really considered a great player. He's hurt a lot.
He's not even the best player on his team.
No. He's not even the showcase now. So that goes to Anthony Edwards. maybe Rudy Gobert. No, I take Towns over Gobert, right?
I'd probably take Gobert.
Over Karl Anthony Towns?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think that's a weird one, too. A lot of interesting stories coming out, man. It's a weird time of year. It's the NHL draft happening right now. And
found this out today. Uh-oh. It is one of our Denver Nuggets birthdays.
Do you want me to try to guess?
Sure.
Can I get a hint?
It's a starter.
I get one guess. Okay,
he's
that's
a starter.
Okay, it's not. I would have seen it. So was it KCP?
Nope.
No.
My next guess.
It's your boy's birthday.
It's MPJ's birthday.
Do you wish him a happy birthday? Just get into
in
his
person,
DMs and
no.
Say what's up. Happy birthday, Mike.
Happy birthday, Mike.
I had your back when nobody else did.
Literally.
Yeah.
I had his back just waiting to get fixed. I got you, Mike. Happy birthday.
Is Michael Porter Jr. your favorite Nugget?
Probably.
He is?
Yeah.
Over the Joker?
Yeah.
See, the Joker could...
I love Nikola Jokic and adore that man, but MPJ is my guy.
Is it one of those things where it's like, I got to pick somebody else because everybody was picked Joker, so
no.
I got to pick somebody else?
It was a guy. I like the adversity stories, and he's had it his entire career, and to see him achieve it and go above and beyond that and be champion now.
Who's your least favorite?
Ooh, that's a good one.
And it's got to be one of the guys, not like his starters and three deep.
Jeff Green. I love Jeff Green, but sometimes he just frustrates the hell out of me.
Well, he's not that great of a player. He has moments, and he's smart. He knows the game. He's played it forever. He's played on 9,000 teams. Yeah. All right. So MPJ, then Joker for you? Or is it Jamal?
I think, yeah, I would probably say MPJ and then Jamal.
Oh, Joker third?
Yeah. That's just because of the times that I, you know, was becoming a Nuggets fan and finding players that you liked. Nikola was under the radar for a lot of us when he first started. And then he started coming up in like 2018. I realized, oh, this guy's really good. And then here we are now.
I think I was texting back and forth with a buddy, one of my guys with First Advantage Bank. And he's like, I still can't believe this. And it is. If you stop and go, we have a title. And the Nuggets have a title. The Nuggets have arguably... maybe when it's all said and done, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. It's weird to say that. You know, I've been harping on it for years, saying stuff like how good Joker is, but now you got it. You got two MVPs. You got a Finals MVP, a Western Conference Finals MVP. You got a championship. It's still kind of crazy, isn't it? And to think the Avs, our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day, to think the Avs are still in their championship window. The Nuggets are certainly in their championship window. It's a pretty exciting time for the teams at Ball Arena.
You get the sense that both of those teams can really feed on the idea that people think they can't do it again.
Oh, maybe.
The Nuggets more so than the Avs. Okay, they had their one good year. They'll never get back. The Avs, it's okay. They had their team. They finally got to the cup and they finally won it after a couple years of playoffs, and they got knocked out and they're done. Because I think this Avs team is going to come out
with a little more of a
fiery in this upcoming season.
I hope so. Now, they obviously did without Gabriel Landeskog last year, but I think we all kind of saw what kind of a player he meant to this team, what he meant overall to this team. The question marks surrounding them are what's the situation with Valerie? How can they react knowing for sure, for certainty, that Gabriel Landeskog is out? Now, again, he was out last year, but there was still maybe hope that he was going to come back.
Yeah, there was always a lingering sense that Gabe could come back at any point. But I think this opens up a window for a guy to step up and become that leader. Like, if we want it to be MacKinnon, or do we want it to be Makar? Who's going to step up and really lead this team?
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, MacKinnon's even said it. He's like, that's not me.
I don't think that is him.
And then Makar is kind of more the...
he's a young guy.
Ah, shucks, I don't want... because remember when Cale Makar got that penalty against Seattle and all that stuff, and he was... He was very terrified about that. Like, he was very upset with him. Not necessarily with himself, but a guy that was more or less just like, I don't want people to have that bad image of me, that I'm a bad player, that I'm a dirty player.
Sure.
Can a guy like that be a vocal leader like Gabriel Landeskog? You know, can Rantanen be that guy? So I do think, as far as the Avs still a championship window, it's the same thing with the Nuggets. You got as long as you got your studs, as long as you got Nathan MacKinnon, as long as you got Nikola Jokic, you're in a window. Now, I don't know, when you say championship window, it means you got a chance. I always say, like, how wide is it open? If it's just, you know, there's a crack there, that means, yeah, with your stud, you got a chance. The Nuggets window is a little bit wider in my mind than the Avalanche. Because, you know, again, Gabriel Landeskog's gone. They didn't win it this year. It did prove some of the moves that they had last year, like with Kadri, did prove to hurt them a little bit. The Nuggets are still in this new stage of, well, I mean, maybe they do get Bruce Brown back, and if they do, they're running it back. So I do think, and even if they don't, they're still running it back for the most part with their starters, with their most important players. But as far as the chip on the shoulders, yeah, I think so. I think in the NBA, it lends itself to that more. The NHL is not about, the NHL doesn't get the coverage that ESPN does. Therefore, they're not picking one team to just go gung-ho about all the time. They just talk hockey. Hockey guys typically do that. NBA guys, professional or national media, they pick five teams and then they just wear them out. That's what they do. Or they pick 10 players and follow them wherever they go, and that's what they do. So I don't know if there's like a chip on the Avs shoulder if they can't do it. The Nuggets, yeah. I mean, like you said, it's all about Phoenix, and now it's about James Harden and everything. So I thought you were going to ask the question of, do you think that the Ball Arena thing fuels them? Like, the Avs want it. The Nuggets want it. We are together, kind of. We're two totally different sports, but we are all representing Ball Arena, and we're kind of together under the same ownership. I wonder if that motivates both sides of the franchises.
Sure. I mean, they call themselves roommates on social media, at least their social teams do. So I'd imagine there's some common sense. If they're sharing the hallways, as we talked about before, neither one of these teams has a practice facility, so they're all either at Ball Arena or they're at somewhere else doing stuff together. So you'll see the same type of people. The media's kind of the same with altitude there. So it does feel like it's kind of a interesting partnership between those two teams. But the success, as you mentioned, it challenges you. It's, oh, the Avs won. Well, let's try to win one, not to spite the Avs or to get even with them, but it's nice to have some gold and blue up there in the banners.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Especially for the Nuggets, knowing the Avs have done it a few times before that,
like,
too.
What are you doing, man? Come on. We're up here hanging in the rafters partying.
Yeah, I think that is something that could help motivate both of them to make Ball Arena just like, that's a championship arena. That's what happens there. Teams win championships, and they can carry that over. 19 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, Angel and I are going to talk about this. Basically about, I like the prep sports angle. Kevin Lytle was on with us earlier talking about recruits in Colorado, and I asked him a question. I'm like, why aren't there more 4-5-star guys? You know, why isn't that the case? Let's get into that more on the other side in the state of Colorado. 119 at the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Congratulations to the Denver Nuggets. Enjoy Nuggets coverage year-round on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Noob said the Avs practice arena is in Aurora. Didn't you say? I thought you said that. Did you say that? You didn't say that? I don't know. It isn't a rule.
They don't have a practice facility like
it's not
in
there.
Ball Arena.
Yeah, it's not there.
I know
there
the Nuggets have a court/training facility.
It's not great. There's not like lakes in it and stuff. I've been in there, actually. It's just a court, and there's not a lot of room for people to sit around and look at them and watch them. You got to stand over by the door. Let me tell you guys about Lemons Heating and Cooling. Hey, man, they've been hooking us up with our Stampede tickets, so I hope a lot of you listeners were able to take advantage of that. I want to thank them for all they do. Great local business. Air conditioning, heating, duct cleaning. Free estimates are available if you check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. And now, Kevin Lytle from the Colorado one was on with us. We were talking about, you know, CSU and Norvell and the focus on recruiting in the state and all that. And it's an interesting concept because a lot of people want to hear coaches just have a bunch of Colorado names on there. A lot of people don't care about that. Fans of the team that are just fans are like, I just want to see CU win. I just want to see CSU win. Doesn't matter who's on there. But then there's a lot of people that are really invested in the programs and maybe invested in the prep scene. They're like, nah, I want to see local talent in the area. Now, our Angel and I didn't have an argument, but we were talking on Tuesday, I think, just about the five-star thing, the four-star thing in the state of Colorado. And the fact is, there's just not a lot of them. You'd be lucky if you get a five-star. There's some really good players. Like, we had talked to one of our great listeners pointed this out, my guy, Kay, and it was like Henry Blackburn, Jack Howell. Yeah, and there's some amazing names back in the day, like the Joel Dreesens. My guy Kyle Bell, those are local guys that played well in this area. But there's not a lot of those guys, and those are rare circumstances. And then they grow, and then they get really good. Trey McBride, local guys, and then they get really good. But those are those kind of guys don't grow on trees. So I'd ask Kevin kind of the question, like, why is it that you don't get a lot of 4 or 5 star guys here? Is it the emphasis on football? Is it flat out the population? I think there's those things too. But, Angel, I mean, you're more of a diehard college guy, meaning you fought, obviously you're an Alabama guy. A lot of those players in those high schools and those cities and states where they just live football. High school guys live football. And in this state, and coming from a station that covers a lot of preps, and we interview a lot of coaches on our shows like Coach Speak, and our Preps Rewind programs and pre-games before high school games and such, coaches in this area definitely are of the mindset, do as many sports as you can. I've heard it. I mean, I just hear them say that. But Kevin kind of brought up, the whole thing of like, is that the best idea? Is that going to make you the better whatever player you want to be? Is there more propensity to get burned out on certain sports as well? So I know you and I both played high school sports. I can tell you from my experience, by the time my senior year of track was over, I was done. Now, I was not a scholarship athlete. I could have went and played at small schools in Kansas to try to walk on. That was as good as I was. I was not a guy that just got a letter and, hey, you get a full written, none of that stuff. But that idea, I saw the paper, I'm like, neat. Didn't want to mess with it anymore. I was done with sports, with playing sports. Because I did it all year round for high school for 4 years, and then you're in the summer doing camps, and then junior high you're doing stuff. I was done. Totally roasted. How about you on that side of it?
Yeah, in terms of high school sports, I did technically 3 different sports, but 2 of them are kind of the same thing. It's all running for me. It was cross-country, indoor, and outdoor track. And I had started out when I got to middle school, I tried out for basketball because I had played baseball for about 5 years, little league baseball growing up, and I actually got burnout when I was in about 5th grade. Going into 6th grade, my parents asked me, do you want to play baseball this year? And I said, no, I'm tired of playing baseball. I don't want to do it anymore. So I took like a year off from sports altogether, went to a new middle school, tried to do basketball, didn't make the team, and then obviously found cross country and track. But when I talk about, when I say like burnout or specialization in sports or even overuse injuries, that is a lot of stuff, and stuff that I had studied in school was more pertained towards youth sports in terms of, youth development, body development and changes when you're pre-puberty versus when you're in puberty versus after. There's so many different things, and it is interesting when you look at the high school ages, because even in high school ages, 14, 15, up to 18, 19, you're still going through bodily changes.
Yeah,
your body's still growing. Your muscles and bones are still changing and growing. So when you get past puberty, it's a lot easier to go into one thing, especially if you have a background with different sports as a kid. If you played youth soccer and youth baseball and you did Little League 1 year, you did, flag football for a year, all of those different types of sports can allow your body to evolve and adapt differently and grow in a way that's more functionally better for you.
Yeah, and I know this is going to piss off a lot of wrestlers too, because you always hear this on the positive side, that, the better tacklers in the NFL are wrestlers. Okay, makes sense. They're good at takedowns and all that stuff. So that sport has helped them with that sport or that sport. My thing was with this, and again, I'm not a scientist, but when you're a high school wrestler, what are you trying to do? Cut weight all the time.
Yep.
Does that stunt your growth?
Yep. I mean, you can see it in any type of sport. You know, women's gymnastics. Those little girls, they'll start gymnasts at like 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah, and they'll
go until they're, you know, 18 in their 20s, and they're only 5'3".
They're not going to get any bigger.
Right.
And I think with wrestling now, again, I have wrestlers. I got my boy Deuce out there. I'm sure he's listening. He's a big dude. You know, but there was a lot of guys that I looked at like, if you beefed up, you could be a stud linebacker. But instead, they stayed, oh, I gotta cut weight. I got to be at 135s. I got to be at 119s. But I also want to be a running back. That's tough. Because you have to start thinking about it. You can't get too heavy. You can't lift too much because you don't want to be 20 pounds out of your goal range by the time you're a month away from the season. It's a lot to cut as a high school kid.
Yeah, it's like I said, the post-puberty development is very, you know, it can go a lot of different ways depending on how you approach it. If you, you know, up to middle school, you played all kinds of different sports, and you get to high school and say, all right, I want to try out for varsity football. I want to be the starting quarterback for the next 3 years at my high school. And maybe you're 5'10", 130-something pounds. If you try to get yourself up to what I want to be as a senior, you're going to hurt yourself physically by stunting your growth, possibly leading to injuries because you're not using your body the right way. Your body's not used to performing at a high level in that way. That's why it takes time to develop that, where you started as a freshman, maybe you're on JV for 2 years, and then by the time you get to a senior, you're at where you should be because you've allowed your body to grow into the sport rather than forcing the sport to mold your body at such a young age.
That's interesting. Because, you know, again, if you're... I had a guy that was a really good basketball player, a couple years older than me. I think he was the 2A Mr. Basketball. So he was really good. And he played basketball, and then he high jumped. That was it. He did that for 3 years. He won the state championship at high jump. So he was really talented. His junior year, you know, people said, because he was tall, you know, he's like 6'6 or whatever, and they're like, you should play football, dude. Come out. You could help us win some games. And he decided to play football. And I know my basketball coach at the time wouldn't say it out loud, but I knew he wasn't crazy about it. Dude broke his leg last regular season game of football season. So he was out. And I thought he was going to be out for the season. He came back, you know, with like one game left in the regular season and played in districts and all that stuff. But he just wasn't the same. He wasn't the same guy. Now, he went to play at a small college, but my question always was, if he wouldn't have broke his leg that year, would he have gone on to play at a bigger college and give him more of an opportunity?
Yeah, and when we're talking about preps athletes and playing different sports, I'm not against that because I think there are benefits to it. Like cornerbacks and wide receivers, you should be running track in the spring. Quarterbacks, maybe you play some baseball. Not pitching, obviously, but maybe you play some baseball just to keep your arm and your throwing motion, you know, still rhythmic in your mind and your muscle memory. But my whole thing is like the specialization of sports at such a young age, that's what really hurts a lot of athletes once they get to high school, because they have already stunted themselves so much, they cannot grow with their peers that are also growing at a normal rate.
Yeah, I don't disagree with those points, because I think you do different things, especially at the higher level high schools, because I'm not going to sit here and pretend to tell you that Cheyenne Wells, Colorado was like, oh, that's where you go to win. You know, that's where you go to take it to the next level. That's not the case. There's not a lot of schools like that. There's some here in this state that are like that, especially in Denver. But those schools are the ones where it's like, if you want to be a basketball player and you want to make the team, you got to dedicate. You got to be this way. Got to watch what you eat. Got to be careful. You want to wrestle at this level, you got to do this. You want to run, you got to be this fast. I always joke about Tim Tebow. The way he lifted was not the way a quarterback should probably lift. He was big and bulky, built like a linebacker. Did that hurt his throwing motion? Did that hurt his quarterbacking? The answer is probably yes. So you can take that and scale it down to the prep side. And it's like, if you want to be a middle linebacker in college football, and you want to do that, or in high school right now, but ultimately be there, we want you to lift. You got to have big shoulders. You got to be busting those shrugs. But then we also want you to, you're saying you want to play basketball and you want to start. yeah, we ain't going to have just a monster, mammoth, muscle-bound dude in there. I mean, sometimes those guys can be okay, but for the most part, they're just kind of clunky because all that muscle doesn't have a lot of finesse to it.
Sure, and, you know, a lot of what the training you do in the off season, if you're, you know, if you're playing football in the fall and then you go into basketball and then you maybe you get the last couple of months of track and then you take a week off after the season's over and then you go immediately back to the football field house and you're lifting weights again, you're hurting yourself.
Yeah.
You're not allowing your body to, one, recover, but two, build up the stamina you know it's going to need. If, hey, if I'm going to do three sports again next year, I need to make sure I'm conditioned for all three because I couldn't get under 10 seconds on a 100 meter in April, but I could get 300 yards in November.
Yeah. Yeah. I think those are all relevant points. Like, we always hear the other side of, oh, we know. I just think it's good for an athlete. I'd love to get Bruce Dick's take on this, too, because I think if you're a coach, you want to say the right thing. You want to say, no, I want other coaches to have these great players, too. I shouldn't get all these stud athletes. But I always, and I never did it, but I always, like, dreamed of, like, oh, maybe I'm just going to be a guy. Maybe I'll just play football and then run track. Because I loved basketball. But I didn't, I had one buddy. And talking about the burnout factor, my guy Spencer, he'd play football, and then he wouldn't do anything else. And he didn't do it because oh, I don't want to mess up my body for football. He was just like, that's all I want to play. Mm-hmm. I want to go home and I want to go home at 3:15 when school's out and play video games and drink Mountain Dew. And I was always like, I hate you so much after football was over, because he would go do whatever he wanted after school, and I'm like, I'm not home until 7, because I lived 30 miles out of town, so I'm going to practice. And so with me, I was always like, maybe I should just do football and track because I'm fast and I like that stuff. Basketball is a longer season for us. So I never did it. I thought about it, but I can see why. Because again, you're in high school. The idea of at 3 o'clock being able to get done and go do something else is cool. I loved sports. So ultimately, I wouldn't change what I did. But yes, there was that thought of, I'm going to go run for the next 2.5 hours to 3 hours. And I know the practice parameters are different nowadays, but I'm going to go do that run, and then I'm going to come home at 7 and do my chores, and then I'm going to go do my homework, and then I'm going to go to bed. And it's going to be like 10:30, and I'm absolutely tired.
Well, I think you paint a great picture of the spectrum of athletes that you deal with, you know, as coaches or as, you know, parents or whatever. Every athlete's going to be different. So you may have a kid on your varsity basketball team that, oh, no, he doesn't plan on going to college. He doesn't play. He just wants to play high school basketball with his friends and have fun. Meanwhile, your starting point guard's got 5 or 6 offers to D1 schools. He's in the gym 4 or 5 hours after practice,
right,
getting shots up. You're not going to tell him, hey, I need you to stop because you're going to get tired for tomorrow's game. You're going to say, hey, I like your shot. Maybe take 5 off because we need you for tomorrow, but I know you're working on a scholarship or whatever. It's just, it's totally different, and each athlete has to be approached individually.
Yeah, if you're just a guy like me that just is playing because you're going to play sports, you know you're not going to be a college athlete. You just play because you got it. You got it until you're 18. That's different. You know, you just want to play sports. That's it. But if you're like an there's also the guy that just wants to play sports but doesn't want to play every sport. Then there's
there's kids that are just insanely athletic, right, and they do everything.
True. And then there's other guys that are like, I want to play Division I football. I can see why. If you want to say my focus is football, that's what I do. That makes sense too. I don't know that there's a wrong answer necessarily. But I think a lot of scouts would tell you there's a right answer in their minds. If you want to be a middle linebacker at the D1 level, you got to keep lifting, and that might hurt your basketball ability.
I could tell you, a few years ago, Nick Saban used to look for cornerbacks that would play baseball. So because they had skills that they could track a ball in flight. And that is a small thing, but it's something that cornerbacks need to do, is can you track a ball in flight while you're moving? And baseball players do that.
Yeah. No, I think that that's interesting, too, because you can look at all these positions and go, yeah, you can play the sport, but if you can play this specific portion of this sport, that would help you out. But if they're asking you to, you're a quarterback and they're asking you to pitch, that could wear you out. You could get potentially hurt. 40 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Holyoke texting in on that topic. As a coach, it's really hard to get your players' attention in the offseason. The multi-sport player is fading. David Roddy supported the multi-sport player. Roddy's the kind of guy that makes sense for it, doesn't he? I mean, of course he played. Did you know he played football? He played quarterback.
I didn't know he played quarterback.
He played quarterback in high school.
He looked like he would play football.
But he is one of those guys that is just a unique, almost a unicornish type player, where he can be very big and he looks like a football player, but he plays well basketball. Remember we had Jenny Kavnar on, one of the Rockies people? She's like, I mean, I love Jenny, but she was way off on this. I was like, do you think he's going to get drafted in the first round? And she's like, I don't, but I know he's going to get drafted, but not into the NBA. He's going to get drafted into the NFL. I'm like, I host a weekly show with David Roddy, and he had said multiple times, no, I do not want to play football. I'm a basketball player. But he had that option. Not everybody has the option like he does.
No, and it's very rare you see a two-sport professional athlete nowadays. It's even rarer in college, I think, because of restrictions and scholarships and stuff like that. But to say you can't use other sports to help you develop other skills that might help you in basketball, sure, take advantage of all of that.
Yeah, certain guys use it. David Roddy's a bruiser. So football helped him become more of a bruiser in basketball. Does that make sense for Isaiah Stevens to go play football, who's a smaller guy, and potentially get destroyed? I mean, I think he did a little bit.
Well, even if it's just playing it, but it also, for David, I imagine it created a physicality
trait. And he used that.
He became more physical. He's not afraid of contact. So
can you use what you're learning? So Holyoke's saying the multi-sport's fading. Holyoke, you are golf, kind of in the golf realm, I believe.
Yep.
I would be curious to know his thoughts on, like, do you want your golfers playing football? Do you want your golfers playing baseball?
Yep.
Do you want them to do that? I mean, just, Holyoke, nobody knows your full name. So you just tell me.
Holyoke from Holyoke.
Well, maybe. Maybe he's from Holyoke.
Actually, he's in the Springs.
He lives in the Springs? We're trying to cover up his identity here.
It's actually from Casper.
Because, I mean, come on. The golf coach in Holyoke, everybody knows who that is.
Yeah,
but still, we'll secret safe with us, bro. If you were a coach, I think you've already kind of said it. If you were a track coach, I think you would be the kind of coach that would be like, hey, Billy, you can play other sports, but try to lean on these positions that would help you with your track.
Yeah, maybe I coached track athletes that also played football, and I'd had conversations with them like, hey, you know, do you try to be mindful, like more mindful of yourself out there? And you can't tell a player to do that because it's in their head, but they do take some precaution in saying, I can't go 120% because I got to run track in the fall.
Yeah, and I would get players that would say, I just want to do this to stay conditioned.
Oh yeah, I mean, when I was in high school, we would have, you know, 1 week, 4 or 5 football players would just show up at practice and they were just running sprints. I'm like, coach, are these guys running this week? Yeah, they're running the 4x1 this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just because they wanted to get some extra training in.
Yeah. No, I've seen that too. Mysterio texting in, as a coach, multi-sport athletes are awesome because they know the sacrifices needed to be successful, but it is also hard to get them to buy into just one sport. See, and I think that's 100% correct. But my question is, are you my boy Spencer, who didn't play other sports just because he wanted to go play video games and hang out? Or are you my boy... some of my other friends that I know just played football, but they were still in the gym grinding. They were still working out. They were still doing all these things for 3 hours a day. It wasn't that they weren't dedicated to other things. It was just they were dedicated to one thing. So I think you're right, Mysterio. There are people that you look at that you say, I like multi-sport athletes because that tells me obviously right off the bat that they know that there's a sacrifice needed. 3 hours of practice after school, that's a sacrifice. But if you know for a fact that the guy might be only playing one sport, but he's still busting his hump in other areas for 3 hours a day, that helps too. But I get it. It's hard to buy into just one sport because you're doing a little bit of everything. Dude, I would go to 3 different types of camps in the summer. I didn't play Little League baseball, but some guys played Little League baseball. And then the very next weekend, we had basketball camp. And then the very next weekend, we were doing a football thing. And then, oh, we got to go back to basketball camp. You couldn't. You were all over the damn place. 48 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. I'll wrap up. I will read some of your texts coming back, and then we'll get to what we learned on the other side. It's the whole show. Don't go anywhere.
Congratulations to the Denver Nuggets. Enjoy Nuggets coverage year-round on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What did we learn today? Well, we learned a little bit about the Avalanche with Kyle Fredrickson. That the moves they made, at least with those two first-round picks, are probably project guys that might have the skill set to make an impact next season a little bit, but don't get your hopes up. Angel, what'd you learn?
I learned that we still know nothing about Bruce Brown's decision.
Except for do we know everything?
Except we may know everything, according to Jamal Murray.
Yes.
We'll find out in 9 or so hours.
Here we go.
I don't know what the math is, but we'll find out tomorrow what Bruce's decision is.
I'm excited about that. I'll read your text real quick, Mysterio. The way that I try to explain it, we were talking about the high school athletes, multi-sport athletes. The way I try to explain it to them is more likely that it's more likely that you are only going to get a scholarship in one sport, so let's pick your best sport and try to become even better at one. And see, that makes sense. Holyoke saying, my take was that it's harder to be a multi-sport athlete given the demand other programs are moving when other programs are moving forward. When I was younger, it was football season, then basketball season, then baseball season. Now everything had become year round. Yeah, exactly right. It's year round. You're 100% right. These kids are playing.
If you're not
nonstop.
Doing football in the fall, you're doing 7-on-7 in the spring.
Yes, it's crazy. So it's hard to be a multi-sport athlete, and if you are, you are really running yourself ragged, especially in these bigger areas.
So I advise do it when you're younger so you don't wait till you're 15, 16 trying to make a life decision.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. 55 minutes after the hour, we'll jump out. We'll be back at it on a Friday. More Rodeo Radio tonight. This is the big one tonight with Tanner Schwint, Brian Gary, and Cody Wilson will be out there too. So tune in, 7 o'clock. Can't wait. Good night, Northern Colorado.